Whether the action is at the link or the bank, there's never an off day on Broad Street. It's the biggest news of the day, every day, with takes from someone who's never short on them. It's WIP Daily with Joe Giglio.
Welcome on in to WIP Daily for June 7th. I'm Tucker Bagley filling in for Joe Giglio, and we're going to start with the Red Hot Phillies, who won their fourth in a row, a 1-0 win over the Detroit Tigers last night. And I think it's time. We had a conversation about Kyle Schwarber being this team's leadoff hitter full time. And I know it sounds silly. I know it looks silly, right? He isn't built like Ricky Henderson. He isn't built like Lou Brock, Tim Raines, even, you know, throwing Jimmy Rollins or even Bryson Sutter, Trey Turner, who both kind of fit the archetype of a leadoff hitter probably much better than Kyle Schwarber does. But the success he's had in that spot, the comfortability he feels when he's hitting leadoff, something that he's lobbied for in his time in Philadelphia, something that just, it makes no sense. I fully admit Kyle Schwarber, leadoff hitter, is just as crazy as it sounds. But you look at what he's done since he's been put back in that spot. His batting average is over 300 in those five games. His OPS is north of 1,200. Thanks to the walks and the three home runs he's hit in that time. And it just fits this team better, I think. And in a world where Bryson Stott really struggled to, you know, produce from the leadoff spot, Trey Turner really struggled to produce from the leadoff spot. And both of those guys that have now found success or have enjoyed success in different parts of this lineup, Kyle Schwarber being this team's leadoff hitter, I just think it has to be the way this goes moving forward. And Rob Thomson talked about last night, you know, what a stroke of genius it was. Obviously, with his tongue firmly implanted in his cheek, Kyle Schwarber said after the game, it's just a coincidence that he's heating up despite, you know, it being June and this kind of being the time of year. When he does this, it's just best for the Phillies offense. And you look at no further than last night, where they beat Tyler Alexander with a run they scored on the first at-bat of the game. Kyle Schwarber takes him deep from the leadoff spot to start the bottom of the first inning. That was all they needed. They've only finished with three hits offensively. Tywan Walker was dominant, pitching, going seven scoreless, and we'll get to him and some of the other positives to take from this team over the past week or so. But I think Kyle Schwarber being in the leadoff spot just fits this team and just makes a lot of sense. And even though he's still hitting 172 or 176 after last night, his on-base percentage is still in the mid-300s. I tweeted out a stat the other day. Despite having, you know, half as many hits as Luis Arraez, the National League's batting leader right now, who's hitting north of 390, Kyle Schwarber scored more runs, and the fact that he hits for power, the fact that he, you know, is going to be playing in a lineup and hitting leadoff in a lineup that I think has some really good offensive pieces down at the bottom of the order, certainly helps his case and certainly helps this team and can get him in a situation where he's going to be up to the plate with runners on base if the guys at the bottom of the order kind of do their job. I think there's a world where it just fits better. And last year, this team really struggled at points in the playoffs because you had two high strikeout guys in Kyle Schwarber and Rhys Hoskins at the top of the lineup. But we also saw what happened when that team and when that offense was going well behind those two guys. I mean, they carried them through the NLCS. And I know Bryce Harper won NLCS MVP, but it was Kyle Schwarber and Rhys Hoskins who carried that offense through most of that series to get them to the point where Bryce Harper could hit that home run and kind of put the exclamation point on the end of the series. So I think as this team moves forward and as we kind of look ahead at what they need to do to not just get back over 500 and get back into a playoff position as they still sit 3.5 games back of the wild card, Kyle Schwarber being at the top of the lineup every day is just what this team needs. It sounds stupid, I know. And it seems counterintuitive when he brought in Trey Turner, a guy who spent most of his career in Washington batting leadoff. But I think the way this lineup looks with Kyle Schwarber at the top right now just makes a little bit more sense. And I thought the lineup Rob Thomson put out last night was probably a good indication of sort of the best way to deploy these hitters. And we start with, you know, Kyle Schwarber at the top. As we said before, I mean, he's been red hot, and we know he's going to be red hot through the month of June, and hopefully that average creeps closer and closer to the Mendoza line as he currently sits at 173. But his on-base percentage is still 322, which is higher than Trey Turner, which is higher than someone like JT Realmuto. It's almost identical to Bryson Stott. That's good enough to be a leadoff hitter in, you know, modern baseball. And I know he's someone that his speed isn't a weapon, and, you know, having speedy guys behind him, like if Trey Turner was batting two, it would certainly limit his ability to take extra bases or steal if those two guys got on at the beginning of a game. But I think right now, the way the lineup's constructed, it's fine. It's not a detriment to this team, but Schwarber won. Castellanos batting second. He's been your best hitter really over the last couple of weeks or so. His batting average is back over 300. He's sitting at 315 after that torrid stretch he had in Washington. His OPS is sitting at a team high 856. Nick Castellanos has been the guy that they signed to that big deal last offseason this year. He's really learned and been really good at, you know, working counts a little bit better. He's not swinging and chasing at, you know, every pitch. You know, they were laughing at him in the NLCS last year because he refused to take a first pitch and was diving out at sliders low and away. He's done a lot better this year at kind of holding off on those, getting pitches that he's capable of hitting, and really just dumping into left field. Like, he's not lacing any balls off the wall, but he's making good contact, he's making solid contact, and he's dropping it in for hits. And it's hard to argue right now with the results he's had. Bryce Harper's going to hit three, whether or not he's slumping. I think you could really etch it in stone that Bryce Harper is going to be the three hitter on this team every day that he's healthy. And even though he's struggled lately, I think his average is like 150 over his last 10 games. He showed a lot of frustration last night. He flew out to the warning track and threw his helmet against the wall of the dugout. He's going to be in the three hole, and I think he's still trying to figure a few things out. He's trying to adjust after getting off to that pretty hot start once he got off the IL in the beginning of May. Bryce Harper's going to be there, and I think Bryce Harper, as we kind of look at this lineup, as great as Castellanos has been, Bryce Harper's still the most talented hitter on this team, and someone who I think could be the most consistent hitter on this team once he kind of gets out of the slump he's in the midst of right now. And then we get to the cleanup spot. I think it's interesting because I don't think there's a real obvious choice to the cleanup spot on this team. And you could point at Kyle Schwarber and say it should be him because he does fit that profile better, right? He is a big home run guy. He's a big swing guy, not a high contact guy, a lot of extra base hits. He only had, I think, two or three singles in the month of May compared to six home runs. But I think right now that's going to be Trey Turner or JT Realmuto. I kind of view those two guys interchangeably. They're going to hit four and five. The way the lineup is currently constructed, Turner obviously has hit cleanup the last couple days and Realmuto five. Those two guys, they have enough power that they're both guys that you could probably pencil in for 20 to 25 home runs, which is enough if you have Schwarber and Harper ahead of them, both guys who are obvious 30 home run candidates. Schwarber probably closer to 40. So Turner and Realmuto 4-5, I think, is going to be where they sort of end up. And it feels silly having Trey Turner at 4 or maybe even 5, considering just the profile of hitter he is, right? Considering he's a guy who isn't a big home run guy, who has a lot of speed, who you know, really profiles as more of a high contact 1-2 type hitter. But I have a hard time putting him there right now when he's not making, you know, consistent contact. He's still only hitting 240 for the season after this, you know, hot stretch he's been enjoying the last week or so. His on-base percentage is still only 283. His OPS is only sitting at 676 right now, which was actually the lowest among Philly starters yesterday, ahead of only Edmundo Sosa, who came in as a defensive replacement for Drew Ellis at the end of the game. So I think Turner, Realmuto 4-5 is kind of where this team's going to end up. And then I like Stott hitting 6. Stott's a guy who is a high contact guy, who works a lot of counts, and I like, in my 6-hole, I like having a guy who can work a count, who doesn't strike out. You kind of end up in a lot of spots with your 6-hole guy. I mean, just think about it. If you get bases loaded, two outs in the first inning, your six hitters coming up. And think back to, you know, the 2008 World Series. The Phillies had Shane Victorino there. They had Jason Worth there at times. But that can be a situation where you come up with a lot of guys on base, or you're trying to start a rally or start an inning if the top of the lineup can't get it done. So Bryson Stott hitting six, I just think is probably the best spot for him right now as he continues to mature in his second year in the majors. Brandon Marsh, who was this team's best hitter, probably in the first month of the season before he had that back shoulder injury that got fixed by the chiropractor. He's sort of back on track. Still only hitting 267, but him hitting seven, I think, fits. And then 8-9 is kind of tough right now with the Alec Bohm injury. Edmundo Sosa and Cody Clemens, to me, feel like the two guys who should be playing every day. I know Drew Ellis is a good story after that two-home run day he had in Washington, but he's really struggled against Detroit so far. He looked really out of sorts against them on Monday, and last night he went 0-for-3 again with a strikeout, and his batting average is now down to 235. Still hitting an OPS of 969 thanks to those home runs he hit against the Nationals, but I think there's a world where Edmundo Sosa takes over those third base reps every day, at least while Alec Bohm is on the IL. And then you have Cody Clemens as well, who's hit pretty well. I mean, he's sitting in an OPS of 742 defensively. I think he's been a plus, especially when you compare him to what the team has had moving forward. But I think when you look at that lineup as a whole, Schwarber, Castellanos, Harper, Turner, Realmuto, Stott, Marsh, Sosa, or Ellis, and then Clemens batting nine, it just all fits in place with Schwarber hitting at the leadoff spot. Once again, I know it sounds silly, and you can look at multiple guys in that lineup, Turner, Stott, even Realmuto, who if he's a, you know, in one of his hot stretches, he's a guy who could hit leadoff. He's athletic enough. He could really wreak a lot of havoc on the base pass, probably until they got Trey Turner. He might have been their best base runner the past couple of seasons, but I just think this lineup works a lot better with Schwarber and Castellanos hitting 1-2. And as we kind of look forward to the finale of this Tigers series, Zach Wheeler taking the mound tonight and really has a tough act to follow after Ranger Suarez, Aaron Nola, and Taijuan Walker each put together really quality starts this time through the rotation. Zach Wheeler needs to figure things out. He gave up seven runs to the Nationals in the Phillies' last loss, a game they lost 8-7. They clawed back and just couldn't get it done, Friday night. Wheeler's shown, flashes of brilliance this year. He's also been really inconsistent, and you don't obviously have to go any further back than his last start. So if Zach Wheeler can put together a quality start and kind of follow what Suarez, Nola, and Walker have started on this winning streak, that would be huge for this team, because you kind of look down the pipeline at, if those three guys get going, the offense, obviously they only had one run and three hits last night against the Tigers, but the offense is starting to get things going. And I think when we look at this team, one of the strengths can be the bullpen. And Craig Kimbrell came out and had just a dominant ninth inning last night, was touching like 96, 97 on his fastball, one inning pitch, struck out all three batters he faced. Anthony Dominguez has an ERA of 0.9 in his last 20 outings last 20 innings pitched after a really rough start to the season. And you add in the fact that Jose Alvarado probably is coming back by the end of the week, Friday. It's been rumored is when he's going to rejoin the team when they play host to the Dodgers in this upcoming weekend series. I mean, we're looking at kind of the ingredients coming together. And, last week I thought it was a little foolish that everyone was excited and really pumping up the Phillies after they split with the Braves. And even though that's better than getting swept in a four-game series or losing 3 of 4, obviously, it's time this team starts making up ground. And this four-game winning streak is really doing that. And they're starting to dig themselves out of the hole that they really created in the month of May. And it gets tough for this team after this Tiger series is over. You have Los Angeles coming to town for a weekend series, a team that you got swept by when you went out there and played them last weekend. And then you have another West Coast swing. You go to Arizona, who this team has struggled with and lost 2 of 3 at home at the end of May, and at Oakland, which should be pretty easy. But then you play host again to the Braves and Mets You know, and that's four out of the next five series against teams that are ahead of you in the standings. So the Phillies can figure things out. If they can keep this good momentum going, they have a shot to make up a lot of ground here, because they have currently on the schedule 13 games against teams ahead of them in the standings over their next 16. 13 of them are against teams that are either in a wild card spot or at least ahead of them when it comes to the Mets, who are still just behind the Pirates and Marlins for that final wild card spot. So that'll do it for today. Once again, I'm Tucker Bagley. Jojilly will be back tomorrow. Please be sure to listen and follow WIP Daily wherever you get your podcasts. Check us out on the 94 WIP YouTube channel.